All right. We are thankful that God is with us, that God has been with us through the years, and we are so thankful to be together this morning. Now let me start with a question. What do creation, ancient history, and our daily meals all have in common? Creation, ancient history, and daily meals have in common. Yeah, you can answer me. They are all tangible proof that God's great love endures forever. Isn't that right? You know, it is so easy when we look at the year behind us and say, well, you know, God has been good to us. I still have a job. My family is with me. My friends. I am healthy. I have everything. What else can I ask, right? But what about when you look back and say, where is my uncle? Where is my mom? Where is my father? Even, where is my children? I am in this house by myself alone. It's too big for me. It's lonely sometimes. How can you be grateful? You see, sometimes we need that kind of refocus in our own understanding of where is God leading us? Where is God in the middle of our struggles? And as we approach Thanksgiving, I think it is so necessary to look into the work and once again to ask, well, Lord, where are you here? Where are you here? Where are you in my life? Where have you been in my struggles? So, in order to do that, I am going to challenge you today to read with me Psalms 136. It's a very long 26 verses. But I'm going to read the first part and you will memorize the second part. What about that? I read the first part of the psalmist and you will see that it is so easy. So, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders. Who by his understanding made the heavens. Who spread out the earth from the waters. Who made the great lights, the sun to govern the day, the moon and the stars to govern the night. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out of them among them, with a mighty hand and a stretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder and brought Israel through the midst of it. But sweep Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down the great kings and killed the mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites. and Og, king of Bashan, and give their land as inheritance, has inheritance to his servant Israel. He remembered us in our low estate and freed us from our enemies. He gave food to every creature. He gave thanks to the God of heaven, for his love endures forever. What do you read there? 26 times we read the same frame. His love endures forever. It's a repetition. It refocuses us one more time to see where God has been with his people. And I love the way the psalmist presents who God is and how his everlasting mercy endures forever in his people. And we start by saying, well, what is this passage says? And probably the first sphere of thinking about God's mercy has to do who really God is. Once again, the psalmist refocuses us, not in our obstacles or in our struggles, but in the God that we serve, who God really is. Because he is the ultimate object of our worship. And he starts by saying, he is the Lord of lords. He is the God of gods. He is the King of kings. The name used in this particular passage is so amazing. It's that theophoric particle, the four letters. Jehovah or Yahweh is translated in different languages. But this is the particular name of God. God himself is a sacred name that talks about that he is eternal, that he is unchanging in his own nature, that he is the greatest of all, that he is the Almighty and the everlasting Lord, who is Lord God and the Savior of his people. And here is the reason. The reason why we should worship him and why we have to refocus our attention during these days. Where is God in the middle of your own struggles? The Psalms will answer, God has been good to you. His goodness is more than what we say. It's God is good. You know, most of the time we say, God is good, and the congregation will say it all the time, right? But sometimes we repeat it without thinking. We are talking about the goodness of God. We are talking about his perfections and the way he treats everything that he touches. This is the way God decided to deal with us, in his goodness. Yes, we have erred in so many ways. We have been rebellious in so many ways. Yes, we suffer the consequences of our sins. Nevertheless, he treats us in his goodness. He treats us as good. So gratitude, gratefulness begins right there. When we acknowledge who God is and how he has treated us. He is superior to all other supposed deities and powers. So gratitude should be the result of really perceiving and comprehending who God is and what he has done for us. The second element that I see in this particular passage has to do with the sustaining power of God. You see, verses 4 to 9 talks about this way God revealed his power. He revealed his power through everything that exists. The psalm starts by saying, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. But then in verse 9, he starts by saying, because he has done great things. And he doesn't let our imagination to go back and forth. No, he says exactly that. He made the sun and the moon. He has been there creating what seems impossible to us. He is the creator of the universe. He is the sustainer of everything that exists. He's totally different and distant person from any deity that we may hear about it. You see, in the eyes of the psalmist, there is nothing that comes closer to who our God is. He is sovereign. He governs everything that exists. He sustains everything that we see. So, being grateful is so essential. So, what do we deduce from these affirmations? God is mighty. He requires from us. Now, he's not just saying, give God gratitude or honor him or praise him. Now he requires our praise. He requires because he is the one who sustains our earth, who sustains our own lives, who sustains his people. And he has proven through all our ways. And he has providing everything that we might need or we have need. There is nothing in this whole sphere of the universe where the hands of the Lord has not been present. In your own life, in your relationships, throughout this year, like the heavens and the earth and the oceans, the sun and the moon, God has sustained them. And even more than that, he has sustained you. Because nothing, absolutely nothing, is impossible for God. So, truly, his love endures forever. You see, the creation is a statement of God's wisdom, God's power, and God's providential love to us. So the third element that I see in this beautiful passage is God's redemptive history. What do we understand by redemption? Redemption is the act of being delivered from bondage or sin by payment of a ransom. Yes, in the New Testament, we read so many times about the redemption work of Jesus Christ. But in this passage, particularly verses 10 to 25, we hear different elements. And we hear about the defining historical moments of Israel. You see, Exodus. Oh, Israel was delivered from the bondage of slavery in Egypt. And then they crossed the Red Sea. Wonderful miracles acts in the middle of it. The journey through the wilderness. The defeat of the big, great, mighty kings, Sihon and Og. the granting of the promised land. Throughout of all these historical moments of Israel, we see the hands of God. Israel can speak to us and said, don't you remember what the Lord has done for us? He has a clean record with us. We claim to him. We pray to him. We ask for his power to be shown in our lives. And you know what? He did it. He saved us. He delivered us. In the middle of the suffering, God was there. When they were hungry, God was there. When they were suffering in the middle of their slavery, God was with them. When they saw the great kings coming against them, like the Pharaoh and his army, God defended them. When these great kings, Bashan and Og, king of the Amorites, when they start coming against Israel one after another, God defend them. So, the Lord was not only with them, but also he acted in their favor. That is why the psalm says, his love endures forever. His mercy endures forever. Now, this saying of 26 times, different translation, and NIV says his love endures forever. Another translation will say, his steadfast endures forever. In Spanish, we'll say, su amor perdura por siempre. Then we ask, why is this repetition? The word used has mercy or steadfast and or love is hesed. It's a loving devotion, a steadfast love, more than mercy. It conveys God's covenantal faithfulness and unwavering commitment to his people. So it is when God see us taking different roads and say, it made me suffer. I have pain in my stomach. This is mercy. I will do something in their favor. They don't deserve it, but I will do something for them. And that is hesed, the way that God deals with us, in his mercy, in his love, which endures forever. Now, let me ask you, what can we do with this sermon? Where God is speaking to you through this sermon? Think about it for a minute. Three steps. Let's worship and praise the Lord. Let's be grateful because he is God. We are his people. Secondly, praise God because he has sustained you throughout this year. Remember those moments of weakness, illness, loneliness, the obstacles, the struggles. Remember, and remember who was with you. Don't forget that he was right there as he was with Israel. Remember his redemptive power. Yes, you have a history with him. He knows you back and forth. You know where you have been. He knows where you have been. He knows you. He knows your family. He knows your struggles. He knows your rebellions. He knows us. And still, his love endures forever. Amen. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we thank you because your love endures forever. We thank you, Lord, because it is in your faithfulness that our faith is rooted. You have been faithful to us. You deliver us from the evil one. You provide for us every single day, and we thank you. We thank you for our families, and we thank you for our friends. We thank you, Lord, for our jobs, and we thank you for our health. Lord, we thank you. We don't take for granted your mercy. We thank you, O Lord, for assure us covenantally that your love will persist, will be loyal, will be faithful, will be eternal. Help us, Lord, to keep that in our hearts and be grateful to you. In Jesus we pray. Amen.